The third distinct type of friendship, according to Aristotle, and the one toward which I think his analysis has been so steadily heading, is what he calls friendship of excellence, or friendship of character, or sometimes perfect friendship. Now, this particular type of friendship does require one's own character state to be virtuous, where the previous two types of friendship could be done by someone vicious as well as virtuous, or simply by the continent and incontinent who are struggling and don't yet have an established character state. Aristotle thinks of this third type of friendship as being the exclusive domain of those who have the virtues already developed in themselves, or at least have a strong disposition and are all along the pathway toward its development. So here he's thinking about people who have courage, temperance, justice, and some prudence. And what he's mindful of is the fact that there are kinds of friendship which are possible in this domain, which are not possible in the other domains, precisely because the concern and the mutual affection, that is, the friendship or the friendly relation with one another, is something that will transcend merely enjoying one another and will transcend merely being useful to one another, but now will be looking out for the other's good precisely because there is something so noble and so well-developed and so excellent about that other person with whom one is in association. It doesn't in any way exclude that it will be pleasant and that they will like one another's company, and it certainly doesn't exclude that it will be useful, that there will be things they can do for one another and services that they can render. But here, the wishing well to the other that is specifically a mark and a characteristic of this type comes precisely from that admiration for virtue already achieved, or at least the great potential for virtue that is noticed in the other person, and the ability to respond to that from a source of virtue and character development that is already in one's own character. These sorts of friendships derive especially in people who have taken notice of the virtues that another have. They've had opportunities to observe instances of courage, or they've regularly seen the temperance that a particular person exhibits with regard to pleasures. Or perhaps they've noticed some instance where injustice and gain was possible, and yet they have seen that person act resolutely with justice. And the admiration comes. I've often seen in the dormitories where I live at my university that sometimes among special groups of students, there's one case, for instance, of what we call the wellness floor, where the students swear off smoking and they have no use for any controlled substance. They also are great on exercise, and they like to organize special study sessions, and they do it long in advance. I mean, the whole idea is sort of a much more well-balanced approach to college life, the kind of thing we wish everybody would do. But not only is there something of pleasantry on that floor and in those parts of the dorm, we hope that they do become friends and just enjoy one another. And not only is there something useful because they're all being quiet and they're all sort of helping one another out and urging one another on to the exercise regime or to the study session, but there's also a great admiration that comes among them. And you see romances bud, and you see long-term friendships develop. The longer I've been involved in the dormitory system, it's always amazing to me how long and persistent some of the friendships that have been made when you have young people who've come to admire one another very greatly in these arrangements, and how they remain great good friends over the years. I think Aristotle had something very similar in mind in taking note of the way in which these particular types of friendship arise. He's very clear that on at least one of the parties in this kind of friendship, there has to be already that developed virtue. In the other case of the second party, it could be that the virtue is already developed, but he also notes that it could be that it's a matter of a virtue that's in potency, that there's a disposition toward that virtue, even if it isn't yet settled character, but that somehow that there's enough in one's family training or enough in one's background that is at least leading one and inclining one in this particular direction. Now, once Aristotle has set out these various kinds of friendship, The second part of his analysis concerns the types of reciprocity and the way in which these various types of friendships actually emerge and how the mechanics of this work. He takes note of the fact that friendships of pleasure and friendships of utility could be relatively numerous. There, the standard will be relatively pragmatic. That is, a friendship of pleasure, things that the kind of relationship that emerges when one likes simply someone else's company, is frequently a factor of time. How much time do you have for such leisure activities? Likewise, friendships of utility, because they can refer to things that are of an enormously short order, like the kind of goodwill that is exerted when a patron goes into an office, or when they can be longer term, when the people who are working together in that office are genuinely kind to one another and well-disposed. There, too, the measure of how many these friendships will be is largely a pragmatic one. How many such friendships are really helpful to a person?